Thank you for joining us for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link down below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now let's join our special guest as he teaches from the Word of God.
Would you agree with me this morning? There's a sweet spirit in the house of the Lord here today. Hallelujah. I know how the psalmist felt when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Man, it is good to be in this house and in the presence of praise and worship and celebration. And now an opportunity to hear from an extraordinary man of God. We are honored to have back with us today Brother Billy and his precious wife, Eltha, here at River of Life. Billy and Eltha Banks are with us. And Billy, you have preached here at River of Life many times, back in the day in Sopchoppy, yeah. And let me tell you something about this couple. And that is, about 12 years ago, God put it on their hearts to go to Africa and to start a ministerial school. And why that's so impressive to me is Billy and I are about the same age. I'm just a little older than you, Billy, but I can't imagine at my age doing something like that. 12 years ago, in the 12 years, they have been there training ministers of the gospel. They've graduated over 400 ministers and sent them out to preach the gospel and to minister the glorious truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. One graduate from that school has led almost 200,000 people to the Lord. One graduate. I'm telling you, they're shaking a continent for the glory of God. And some of you may not know this, but for many years now, we've been supporting their ministry and sowing into their ministry, and we're going to keep doing that. There's so much I could say about them. I just enjoy being in their presence. Brother Billy is a man of God, a preacher, a missionary, a teacher, a father, an apostle. The list goes on. But to us today, he's a friend and someone who listens to the Holy Spirit and ministers the Word of God. And one of the things Brother Billy told me a long time ago is he said, when I come, I don't just pull a message. I don't just pull an old message and preach it. I wait until I get before the Lord and I get a word from God for River of Life. I'm convinced that we're going to hear a word from God today. Brother Billy, would you come? I'll say a word of prayer over you, and we are going to listen to you and receive the word that God has put on your heart for this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you bless my brother? Would you use him as an instrument in your hands? Would you speak to him and through him, Lord? Lord, I pray that you'll shake this house and shake our hearts with your presence and your glory. I pray, Lord, none of us will be the same when we leave here today. I pray that when the altar call is made today, that individuals will be saved. Some of us will be drawn back closer to you, and all of us will be touched. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love you, brother. God bless you.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. He is truly my brother from another mother. Amen. We have the same father. Amen. I love you, Pastor Henry, and the first lady of this house, Sister Beth. And I know she's over there with the children. Pastor Chuck, good to see you, man. And I want to take a minute to just say thank you to the River of Life for your hospitality and honoring us. And to Scooter and the whole team that put together Annie's house. Anybody know about Annie's house? Amen. Well, if you've sown into Annie's house financially, you're part of the blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful. I'm thinking just for a minute about 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24, when David came back from, you know, that's the whole message, you know, with the spoils from the enemy. And they said there was some guys who, I'm paraphrasing, who said, you know, let those guys have their women and children and go. If they didn't go across the brook and fight, they don't get anything. Just let them have their family. And David said, no, it won't be that way. He said, for those who crossed the brook and fought and those who stayed with the stuff, they're going to share alike. Everybody's going to get an equal share. So you may not go to Africa. Come on, smile at me. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. You don't have to go over there. But if you're supporting what we're doing through the River of Life, you're part of those 200,000 that this one graduate has brought to Christ. That, if you think about the whole group, what they're doing. But my wife and I never thought about the impact that the school is having. And by the way, this June, actually it's July, right? This July, we will be opening our second campus inside the Masai Mara. This is where the animals, the wild animals are. Everybody that go to Kenya, they want to go see the safari pastor. They want to see the animals. Well, we're going to be right there inside the Masai Mara. These are the warriors that you see on National Geographic walking in the wild with a spear. And when the lions come, they go the other way. Because they know these guys are fierce warriors. And so we'll be there. They have been praying for decades for a Bible school, but no one wanted to go. So we're bringing the Bible school to the Maasai people. We're so excited about that, Pastor. We'll be there. Thank you, Lord. We'll be there in July, whatever the date is. We'll be there. Amen. Well, are you ready for the word?
Yes.
As Pastor says, you know, I usually just ask, my wife would tell you I was wrestling with the Holy Ghost, what, about a week ago? Well, you know, I got all kind of messages, man, but I'm like, what do you want to say to the River of Life? I want a word for the house.
That's right.
And so here we go. Your character produces influence. Your character produces influence. Acts chapter 27, we're going to go there, verses 9 through 37. I hope you have a Bible, a device, or something. Usually we don't read a long text, but is it okay to read the Bible?
Yes.
I heard the pastor say, yeah. Are you here? You're going home already. Is it okay to read the Bible? All right. Okay, Acts chapter 27, verse 9, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was over already, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. Watch this, saints. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. So the apostle, they have the apostle in the ship, but they're not listening to him because he doesn't have influence at this time with the people on this ship. We're going to get there. Verse 12. But the harbor was not suitable for wintering. The majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, and if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor crate, facing southward, northward, and spend the winter there. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close ashore, inshore. Verse 14. But before very long, they rushed down from the land a violent wind called Equoria. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, We gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Running under the shelter of a small island called Claudia, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And they had hoisted it up. They used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Sardis, they let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of being saved was gradually abandoned. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, "Men, you ought to have listened." He said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet, now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand, hallelujah, before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have told you. But we must run aground on a certain island.' But when the 14th night came, as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast out the four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food. For this is for your preservation, for not a hair on your head of any of you will perish.' Having said this, he took the bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food." Verse 37. "All of us in the ship were 260 persons." So one man of God is in the midst of 260 some persons. But because of his presence, everyone is going to be saved. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you can make a difference." A fast referred to in the Jewish Day of Atonement and on the year it fell in the first half of October. According to the navigational practice of the time, sailing was considered doubtful after September and impossible by November. Paul had not the slightest doubt that God would do his part, but Paul had to do his part. The man of God is the man whose courage stands when terror invades the hearts of other people. Let me say it again. The man of God is the man whose courage stands when terror invades the hearts of other people. I thank you for the two quiet amens. You know, I had a friend, he's passed away now, but he was a ranking officer in the U.S. Navy and one of my mentors, a dear friend. And he told me something many years ago that has stayed with me ever since. And he said, Billy, when everyone in the ship is scared and upset, you've got to stay calm. You don't change. When you're a person of faith, you're not up today. And you ever, don't raise your hand. You ever meet people and today, praise the Lord, Pastor, man, God is good, amen. And then you see them next Sunday and they walk into church. You all right? Well, yeah, I'm okay. Is the Lord good? Yeah, you all right. You know, what happened? God is still the same God. Amen?
Amen?
Point number one. What did God say? You got to get this today, church. I hope you're writing this down. What did God say? Acts chapter 23, verse 11. This is the Amplified. On the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, the Lord said, be brave, for as you have solemnly and faithfully witnessed about me at Jerusalem, so you must also testify at Rome. You remember, some of you out there know the story, that even before Paul went to Jerusalem, Agabus the prophet tied his belt, took Paul's belt and tied his hands and feet and said, the man who's the possessor of this belt is the same man that shall be tied and shackled if he goes to Jerusalem. And the people around Paul begin to weep and cry, the Bible says. And the apostle said, why are you weeping and crying? I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody go get this today. In other words, he had his face set for Rome. Come hell or high water, I'm going, oh, come on, somebody, I'm going to Rome. We're talking about Christian character. Webster says character is the features that make up and distinguish an individual. Acts 27:11 says, but the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what Paul was saying. In other words, in the beginning of this voyage, Paul had zero influence. And some of you at work and wherever you are in business, in this church, right now in the surroundings where you are, you may have zero influence. But just realize people are watching you. And based on your Christian character, you're going to have the opportunity to speak into their lives, or you won't be able to speak into their lives based on your character. It's getting quiet in this holy church. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will only obey what I command. John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. If you obey God, you love him. Okay, we'll let that sink in. John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my, this is, Pastor Chuck, this is in red. John 14:23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Okay, I'm going to get there. You hang on with me, okay? In Genesis 12, God asked Abraham to take his family and move to an unknown country. Abraham followed God's instructions even though it was hard. Because Abraham obeyed, God promised to make him into a great nation. Also, God rewards obedience and generosity. Brother Hagin used to tell us you could take a side journey sometime and get something out of it. Not in my notes. How many of you remember Abraham was given the promise to have a son in his old age? And when God told him, this son is going to be like the stars, your people will be like the stars in heaven. And when the angel came and said, you're going to have this child, the Bible says Sarah was listening in the tent door and laughed. Well, you can go back and study this. Abraham laughed too. But I think they were sitting, I was looking at that rocker in Annie's place this morning thinking about this. And, you know, I believe they were sitting on the porch one day outside the tent. And they said, you know what? When we left our parents, God did everything he said he would. When we went to Egypt, you went to Egypt broke. Read the story. He didn't have a wagon full of anything when they went there. But when he left, the Bible says Abraham was very rich. He wasn't just rich. Oh, I'm going to go talk over here. Okay. He wasn't rich. He was very rich. And I believe as they look back, Pastor Henry, on what God had done for them, they thought, everything God said he would do, he will do it. You know what? We can have this child. Yeah, we can do it. And when Sarah and Abraham got into agreement that they could have the child manifested. What's the point, preacher? My students gave me a t-shirt last year, and they put my face on it, and then it says, what's the point, preacher? The point is, when we obey God, when we get right in the middle of what he wants us to do, you're on your way up. You're on your way to a blessing. Isaiah 1:19, this is the English Standard Version. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now the King James says you'll eat the fat of the land, but I like the Message Bible. Same Isaiah 1:19 says, if you'll willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. Yeah. Some of us aren't feasting right now. But all you need to do is just make a little adjustment. Kenneth Hagin said he couldn't buy his kids clothes, food. He was struggling. He said he was driving across the United States preaching with a car with bald tires, just getting by. And he said he went to the Lord with this scripture. And he said, Lord, you said, in Isaiah 1:19, that if I be willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. Well, I'm not eating the good of the land. What's the problem? And the Lord Jesus said to him, you don't qualify. He said, what do you mean I don't qualify? I'm going all over the United States preaching and teaching and so forth. And Jesus said to him, you're going where I'm telling you to go, but you're not going with a good attitude. So you don't qualify. This is Kenneth E. Hagin. Jesus told him, you're not eating the good of the land because you're going everywhere I told you to go, but you're not going. Smile. Amen. Good attitude. Brother Hagin said, it took me 30 seconds, Pastor Henry, to make a hard adjustment. And he said, Lord, you know my heart. You know what I'm thinking. I'm willing. Amen. I'm ready to go. And after that, he went up. God blessed his ministry, blessed everything he was doing. He just had to make a little heart adjustment. You need to be willing. You know, we can go to Africa and do all the stuff we do, but if my wife and I go over there, man, I, as soon as we get there, I can call Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry, I'm on the ground, brother, but I'll be glad when I get back. I'm not going to be blessed. When we go over there, people ask us, you don't want to know what it's like. Just Google living in Kenya. Driving in Kenya, you'll get an idea. But you have to go with a heart to serve the people. The people have to know that you love them, that you care about them. If they don't, you're not going to connect. Okay, I'll talk to somebody in here. You're not going to connect with these people if they don't know that you care. Thank you for the three amens. Point number two, how did you respond? How did you respond to what God said? Hebrews 10:23, English Standard Version. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. Is God faithful? Can I get a hand? Amen. Is he faithful? Hebrews 10:23, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises reliable, trustworthy, and faithful to his word. That's the Amplified. Webster says, faithful is steadfast in affection or allegiance. In other words, you're loyal. If you're going to be a good staff member in this church, I'm not going to look at any of them. I'll look way out there. If you're going to be a good staff member in this church, you're going to have to be loyal. That's right. You support the pastor. If the pastor comes with a vision, you don't understand the vision, you don't like the vision, it's not your vision. If it was yours, God would have given it to you. But if you don't understand why the pastor is doing whatever it is he wants to do or whatever he wants to build, just say, Pastor, I'm willing. Amen. Well, let's go. I don't understand where we're going. I don't know why we're going. Just go. You'll be blessed. It's getting quiet in here. It is interesting that Julius, the centurion, now Julius was considered to be not just a centurion or what we would call a soldier. This guy was the elite. He was a Navy SEAL kind of leader, this young man. Check it out. It says, it is interesting that Julius, the centurion, became a good friend of the Apostle Paul. When Paul told him that everyone must stay aboard the ship, and when they became shipwrecked, Julius stepped in because they wanted to kill all the prisoners. But because of Paul, Julius said, just let the men get to the shore the best way they can. We're not going to kill any prisoner. Because in Rome, as a soldier, if the person you're guarding got away, your life was for his life. If you want to look at that, go back to Paul and Silas when they were in prison, and the door opened, and the sailor was, the soldier was about to kill himself. When Paul hollered out, we're still here. Don't do yourself any harm. And he brought Paul and Silas out and washed their back, and, you know, he got saved, the Philippian jailer. I just threw that in for free. In other words, Paul had gone from these guys not listening to him to listening to him and favor with the leader of this centurion boat. When God asked us to become missionaries to Africa, we said yes. We really didn't know the impact the Bible school would have on the continent of Africa and around the world. My wife and I say all the time in our ignorance, Pastor Henry, we got started. How old were we, honey? We were 59 or 60? She says she was 60. That means I was 59 and a half. When we started, 59 and a half. My wife was 60. But the Lord said, go to Africa. You know, our family, man, we've got children, 10 grandchildren. You know, they're like, Papa, where are you going? Let those people take care of themselves. But you have to obey God. And our oldest son, God bless him, he was like, Dad, Mom, what is, you know, you guys are going to be retiring and blah, blah, blah. Are you sure about this and so forth? And once he realized he couldn't dissuade us from going, he said, how can I help you? He's an IT guy, and him, he got his crew together. They built our website, developed our brochures and all that kind of stuff for free. You know, some of them, some kids are charged, amen, even though, you know what I'm talking about, amen. Yeah, they're your kids, but they're going to charge you. You know what I'm talking about. Are you getting anything out of this? When you respond, yes, Lord, all will be well. Just like the Apostle Paul said, God will do what he said he will do. Not one person on the ship out of 276 souls were lost because the man of God was on the ship. One person. Number three, what did God do? 1 Kings 8:56, not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, everything God told Moses he would do, he delivered. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. So whatever he's told you he would do, saints, you can count on him. He will do it. The promise, Webster says, is a legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a special act. Remember, if you have made Jesus Lord, you have a covenant with God. That's a whole series of messages. The covenant. In Rwanda, there are two tribes there. One is called the Watutsi. These guys are about 6'10" on the average. The Hutu are about 5 feet tall on the average. And over a period of time, the Hutu were being beaten, murdered. Their women were being raped, and it wasn't a good situation. And so one of the Hutu leader, the chief, he went to the Watutsi chief, and he said, we want to make a covenant. If you have a problem, we come. If we have a problem, you come to help us. And the chief said, of the Watutsi, he said, that sounds good. Let's do it. And in Africa, guys, they cut each other and mingle the blood. And once they mingle the blood, you're now blood brothers. You have a covenant. Now, Jesus cut the covenant for you and I. That's right. on the cross. So if you're a born again believer today, you now have a covenant with God. So the next time the enemy came into the Hutu camp to beat them, rape them, murder them, guess who showed up? The Watutsi. They came 6'10" with spears, knives. And when they saw them, they took off. And after that, they had no problem, because they realized that if we attack the Hutu, their brother, the Watutsi, is showing up. That's the covenant we have with God. When the devil comes, just remember, Jesus is on your side. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about the devil. Amen. We've got the greater one fighting for us. He said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Making intercession for us. Once the Lord told the Apostle Paul that he must testify in Rome, Paul obeyed and didn't let anything deter him from arriving in Rome. We see this in Acts 23:11. Paul stood before Caesar, Emperor Nero, and was released from his imprisonment, probably due to his innocence. Remember, he went before Festus and Bernice and King Agrippa, and King Agrippa said this man could be set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Acts 23:29, 25:25, and 26:32. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and many theologians believe he wrote the book of Hebrews also, which would be 14 books. And many of these he wrote from Rome. The impact that the Apostle Paul had, you got to go study this. But even the soldiers that were with him in Rome got saved. They got born again. And they loved the apostle. He had an impact everywhere he went, because he says, we're walking epistles read of men. Just remember, people are watching you. And based on your Christian character, it could be positive or it could be negative. Paul was martyred in Rome by Nero. In 2 Timothy 4:7, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And I pray that, hallelujah, when I get there, that I can say this, Pastor Henry. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In other words, the apostle said, I'm ready to go. In closing, number one, what did God say? What has God said to you to do? But some of you, you may as well smile at me, amen. But some of you have been dragging your feet. He sent you here to the River of Life to do something. And some of you have been dragging your feet about it. And you've been waiting for somebody else to do what God told you to do. Number two, how did you respond? Have you said, yes, Lord, and stepped into what he's called you to do? If not, today's going to be your day. Number three, when you step into what he told you to do, you're going to find out, what did God do? And I can tell you from personal experience, we never dreamed that we would have the life that we have today after being in business for many years. And I call it being on the, you know, the guinea pig wheel. You're just going, man, 24 hours a day, and you're never getting anywhere. But once we said, yes, Lord, and we went to Africa, Pastor Henry, they told us, you'll never make it. Your business is going down. And our business went vertical through the roof. Once we said, yes, Lord, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Amen. Hallelujah. When, listen, guys, I just heard the Holy Ghost say this. You can't figure this stuff out. You ever hear, don't raise your hand. Well, you can. Okay. How many of us have had, and you might be the person, who we say, Pastor Henry, I'm going to do what God sent me to the river of life to do just soon as my ducks get in a row. I get the ducks in a row, Pastor, I'm coming. I'm going to help you. And they're waiting for the ducks to get in the row. And how many of you know every time you wait for the ducks to get in the row, one duck gets out of the row and you got to start all over again. That's why you just have to start. Dr. George Washington Carver says, start where you are. Just get started. You can't figure this stuff out, guys. You just have to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing and obedient. I'm going to do what you said when you said it, and you'll see the blessing after you've been obedient. You won't see it before. When everybody in the boat was lost and scared, you must display the confidence that God is in control. Hallelujah. We need to be men and women of God. We must be people of faith and obedience. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening to the preacher? We need to be people of faith and obedience. Amen. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. We want to be people, God, of faith and obedience. But before we can be people of faith, we need to know the person who helps us with our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be here today under the sound of my voice, and I know there's some here. You haven't made that decision to make Jesus Lord for whatever reason. Don't put it off another day. Sometimes people say, I'll do it next Sunday. I want my mama to be here. Well, you die before next Sunday and you go bust hell wide open. You don't make it. Now is the time. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So if you haven't made Jesus Lord, I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. Just lift up your hand. We're not going to take a whole lot of time, but this is important. I just want you to lift your hands and say, Pastor, I have, thank you. I see that hand. I haven't made Jesus Lord. I haven't made that decision. I'm looking or trying to look. I see that hand. Thank you. Trying to see you out there. I'm just going to wait. I see that hand. Thank you. Listen, guys, this is why we're here. Just everybody just stay in the moment with us for a minute. Just for a minute, please. Kenneth E. Hagin said that he went to church. He was a good guy. He did things to be a good person. And the Lord Jesus let him go to hell. And as he was approaching the door of hell, he said it was so black he couldn't see his hand in front of his face. And he said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And he went back up. And then the second time he went down. And he said he got right to the door. And he said, I don't want to go to hell. Jesus, save me. And he came back. And he made Jesus Lord. Hell was not created for God's people. It was created for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want any of us to go there. So let me just take one more minute. I saw some hands, but let me just take one more minute. If you haven't raised your hand, this is your opportunity to say, brother, today is my day. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm on my way to Rome. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow what God has called me to do, come hell or high water. You're here for a purpose. So just one more minute. If you didn't raise your hand, this is your opportunity. Just lift up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I want to make Jesus Lord. I see that hand. Thank you. This is the last call. Now, you may have been saved. You may have even been baptized. But if Jesus came right now, you'd bust hell wide open. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. You know you need to be right with God. If that's you, you lift your hand. Say, brother, I need to reconnect. Thank you. I see that hand. Praise God. See that hand.
Thank you again for listening to this message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact us at 850-926-1200 or email us at info@rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in Crawfordville. Please visit us online at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.